Morning. Great to see all these beautiful faces out there. Family members, my brothers and sisters in Christ, huh? Great reality. God's Word has some fantastic realities that far exceed the things that we deal with each and every day in the world. And with the five senses world that we live in, we certainly are bombarded with all kinds of things that man has initiated, but God initiated something long ago with the heart's desire to have children that are born again of His Spirit and that would fellowship with Him, be in partnership with Him, that would be His children forever and ever. And that's the greatest reality for us to realize. You know, I believe the quest for every man and every woman that they face is, what is my purpose in life? What is my purpose in life? It's a stark reality to consider those things, but I think every man and woman does. The vast majority of the people that, I think everybody has that thought, what is my purpose in life? A vast majority of those seek out, I think everybody seeks out, well, what is my purpose in life? And reaches out to various resources to find that out. Most of the resources I see in the world advocate, look within. Look within. If you would only look within yourself, you have such great power and abilities residing within. So, look within and find your potential. Look within to find your meaning in life. And you know what happens when people do that? They find the uncertainty they have, the fears, the concerns. They find it kind of empty in there. You know why that is? It's because you did not bring yourself into being. God created you and all of life. And God knows, and God tells us, what our purpose in life is. He authored us. And also, He gave us the owner manual to check out what our purpose in life is. And when you go to God's Word and read it, you'll see that God has such a tremendous love and desire for us that He has purposed each and every one of you born again of God's Spirit to have a relationship with Him as a son and daughter forever and ever, for eternity. And for us to realize that and to see that bigger and bigger in our lives and get out of ourselves and into the Word as we heard in the manifestations, then we will walk with great power and deliverance in our life. So I believe our diligence in working the Scriptures will be rewarded in discovering a loving God who desires us to be His eternal children by believing on the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. We are bought with the price. Remember during the New Year's advance, we looked at 1 Corinthians 6:9, I believe it was, 6:19 and 20. Share a little bit with you about that. It says, you are not your own. You don't belong to yourself. Okay? You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our body. Okay? What we have, it's God and Christ in us. We're bought with a price. We don't own ourselves. God owns us. So that's who we want to talk to the owner and get our head into the owner's manual. God's Word. Get into God's Word. We belong to God, the Heavenly Father, and He has given us incorruptible seed. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. Forever. Wow. As we grow by feeding ourselves God's Word and living it with our fellow believers, and remember, how do we grow our lifestyle of moving God's Word within ourselves first? How do we do that? The three R's, receive, retain, release. So I trust all of you who know some of the greatness of God's Word that are desiring to grow with God, that you take care of yourself, you feed yourself God's Word, then you hold it tight, you retain it, and then release it. Release it. So when you come to fellowship, you come to do all three, I trust. You come to be fed, but also you come to be strengthened so that you can hold on to the Word of God. And also you come to bless your fellow brothers and sisters by loving them, smiling at them, hugging them, saying, "You're wonderful, you're great. How can I help you today?" See, all of us have this wonderful lifestyle to live. It's really neat. There is an important reality that I would like for us to remember and incorporate in our life. There are many great realities in light of being sons of God with power, but there's one I'd like to share with you today, and that reality is that we are higher ground citizens. We are higher ground citizens called with the holy calling for God or the Father's purpose. In other words, we are seated upon high. God has called us to be out of this world and put ourselves up in the heavenlies. Philippians chapter 3, please. We're going to look at this wonderful chapter in light of this reality. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, or by the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have a little confidence in the flesh." No confidence in the flesh. We worship God in the Spirit. We have learned in God's Word to worship God in the Spirit. Using the Spirit is speaking in tongues. We can operate the manifestation of Holy Spirit. When we manifest Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, we are worshiping Him. Verse 4, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," and here Paul is going to say, "Hey, I know all of you have confidence in the flesh. Me too. You know, look at my credentials here. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Hey, I was circumcised the eighth day. I did the law. I'm of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. I'm a PhD as far as the law of Israel is concerned. I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, hey, I persecuted the church. I caused people to die. I caused people to be thrown in jail. I got into it. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." He had great credentials according to the world and the standard of the world. But what does he say in verse 7? "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." All the credentials, all the great standing before Israel, and all that he has gained and all that he had learned in the world was loss for who? Christ. And compared to the knowledge of Christ. "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." What a wonderful attitude to have. When it comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, I put that first. Yeah, I need to learn how to do my job better. Yeah, I need to go to school and get an education. Yeah, I need to learn all these things to exist in this world. But what is the knowledge that is above that, that has preeminence? The knowledge of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. Paul was the great Pharisee. He was up and coming. He was going to be like the head guy someday. And yet, he turned that all away. He pushed that all aside so that he could be Christ's child, that he could work for the Lord Jesus Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What a wonderful attitude, that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith or the believing concerning Christ. The righteousness which is of God by believing, by the right way of believing, that I may know him. And the word know here is the Greek word genosko. There's two major Greek words that are translated into the English to know. And one of them is just to know, be aware of. You know, I know some people here, but other people I genosko, I know very closely, like my wife. You know, we've been living together for 30 years, coming on 30 years here as husband and wife. So I genosko her, but some people in here I just kind of know a little bit. Well, this is the word genosko, that I may really know him, experience him, and the power of his resurrection. Boy, the power of his resurrection. What power is that that could raise him from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ? 3 days and three nights in the grave? What kind of power is that that can raise him up? Well, that's the power that he was looking at. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. In other words, he could fully identify with Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ suffered, that he died. All of that, he identifies with that. And then when God raised him from the dead, he identifies with that too. And we'll see that we have been raised up together with Christ. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended or appointed of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. How many times do we carry the baggage of old, of yesterday, of last year, of years ago that we have in our minds? Bitterness, anxiety, concerns about situations and relationships that we just drag along with us day in and day out. God's Word says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Okay? All right. It's behind me. I'll forget them. Is it over with now? Now that I forgot them, now I can move on? No. What does the rest of the verse say? Not only do we forget those things which are behind, all right, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. See, we got to keep moving. We keep moving. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward that mark. You know, this word press, you know, this is talking about like a race. There's the finish line, the mark, the finish line. So when I see the finish line, do I just kind of meander along to the finish line? No. I sprint. I press. It's just like in basketball, you know. I have my team, we're going to press them today, okay? And that means you take them all over the court, full court press. You know, that's the press. Everybody's on them the whole time, up and down the court. This should be our attitude. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The prize of the high calling. God has called us. It's a high calling, a most worthy endeavor. And I want to take a look at the greatness of this calling, this summons, this invitation by God, this high calling. 2 Timothy, we're going to come back to Philippians, but turn over to 2 Timothy if you would. Chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Take a look at a few verses on the greatness of this calling that we have. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us. This is past tense. It's in the established tense in the Greek. It's what they call the aorist tense, which means it's established, it's been done, it's a done deal. Who hath saved us and called us with what kind of a calling? A holy calling. That's pretty special. We've been called with a special, holy, anointed calling. Not according to our works, thank goodness. You know, I think all of us would fall short to get a holy calling. You know? But that's not the issue. That's not the issue. Not according to our purpose, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. See, God has a purpose for our life. That purpose is a purpose that He has called with a high calling, a holy calling. Wow. And He's called us His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. God had this in His heart way back when? That He could have you and I as His children have fellowship. And He called us with a holy calling. It's not like He says, "Hey, Will, why don't you join me?" No. No, He said, "Will, you're special. You're born again of God's Spirit. I love you. Come on, let's go. Let's do the family business. Let's work the Word. Let's move the Word." It's a holy calling. It's special. You know, if you get a letter of appreciation that you've done certain things and you've been recognized, you've been called out that you were certain thing that you've done, you know, where do you put that recognition letter? You put it on the wall, you know, and put a pretty gold frame around it. So we've been called with a holy calling. We've got to, in our mind, physical mind, brain here, realize that and see that bigger than the worldly callings. The world's calling us, right? It wants us to buy this and that. It wants us to do this and that. But what does God want us to do? That is the great holy calling. That's where we want to focus in most of the time, as much as possible. All right. Did we finish this verse? Before the world began. God had this purpose for us way back when. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Boy, this calling is a big deal. You know, it's a holy calling, it's a high calling, it's a heavenly calling. Okay, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, which is like our confession, Christ Jesus. Look at Him. What has He done? We have a heavenly calling. We have that heavenly calling. Look at 2 Peter. Hebrews, James, Peter. 2 Peter 1:10. A great exhortation in God's Word in light of our calling. 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. We have this wonderful calling by God Almighty. He has even elected us. You know? Yeah, He's voted for us. We've won the election before Him. There's no recount. There's no, you know, where did He put the mark or anything? Nothing like that at all. God has voted for us, and we're in the family. He has called us. What a great reality. Ephesians, okay, gets us back close to Philippians, where we need to get back here soon. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding, and the word understanding in the Greek is cardia, which is many times translated heart. Heart. Cardiac arrest, cardia, that's where they get, you know, cardiologist, they get it from this Greek word cardia. Okay, and that's what it means. The eyes of your heart, the most inner part of your being. Being enlightened. God wants the eyes of our hearts enlightened. What does he want us enlightened to? That you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. He has called us. There's a great hope. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We have a great inheritance that's coming. What a great reality. And then chapter 4, Ephesians, verse 1. The second section of Ephesians is the practical application of the great realities taught in the first three chapters. And this is the walking out on it. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. The word vocation is again the Greek word for calling, wherewith ye are called. You know, the practical application here, the first thing is that we're beseeched that we would walk worthy of the calling, that we've been called with a high calling, a holy calling, a heavenly calling. He wants us to know in the depth of our heart this wonderful calling. What a great reality. Back to Ephesians chapter 3. See, God wants us to forget the past. Move on. Move on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And let's read on. Let us therefore, as a result of this wonderful reality that we can forget the past, we can move on with the high calling. Therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We're perfect in the Lord. Don't think this verse means that, you know, this is not my verse. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes all the time. So I don't have to listen to this verse. No, this is, we're perfect in Christ. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You walk with the Father, you get off the ball, God can help you get back on the ball. He will if you're listening, if you ask Him. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. The word followers is like imitators. Be imitators together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Those who walk on God's word should be the examples to the other believers. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. People, you know, they learn this, they see the reality of it, and then they just walk totally different than the high calling that they've been called. It's unfortunate. They live in the world and that's all they do. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. Verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation is the word better translated our citizenship. The Greek word is politumia, where we get politics or the political body, the group, the governed group. And here, for our citizenship is in heaven. The Greek reads, for our citizenship exists even now in heaven. Even now in heaven. So we're up in heaven. We've been called with a holy calling. We are in the heavenlies. We are citizens of the heavens. We are heavenly citizens. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we looking for in the future? The trumpet's blowing, Christ coming back. And we'll see Him a little quicker because we're already seated in the heavenlies, in a sense, you know. We're seated in the heaven. That's where God sees us. You know, we live day to day in this crazy world and all the things that we have to deal with. But man, we can either have in our minds, well, it's a crazy world. I'll just float with it and be part of it. Or we can grab our minds and say, this is what the Word says. I've been called with a holy calling. I can rise up above the world. Sure, I get beat up and knocked down by the world. But hey, in my heart of mind, the mind of my heart, I can believe that I am seated in the heavenlies. I'm above this. I don't have to succumb to it. Boy, what a great release from the pressures and the temptations that we deal with in the world each and every day. We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a great reality here. Colossians, we'll come back. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's where we should be, you know, we get banged up in the world, but we're above that. We seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead. This old man, it's dead. I know it's still walking around and doing its thing. But the reality is that we're seated in the heavenlies. We're above that. And that's where Christ is. He's seated on the right hand of God. It says in Mark 16, 19, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's where Jesus Christ ended up after all that He did. Look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. We're going to come back to Philippians. We've got one more verse to handle. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. In the law, all this different sacrifices, all the activities that the priests had to do, they stood and did the sacrifices, and they would pour the blood, and they would sprinkle this, and they would light this candle and that candle. They would do all these things, but it really never took away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And that's you and I. We're all sanctified, the word says. Set apart, special. Set apart, special. We're sanctified. You know, it's interesting to see that in the Old Testament, the priest, when they carried out the sacrifices and all the activities of the law, that they stood. No sitting. No sitting. It wasn't like they did their thing and then they would sit. No, no sitting. They had to stand and do all the sacrifices, lighting candles and smoke and all this stuff that they did. The great reality here is when Jesus Christ did it once and for all, then He finished it by sitting at the right hand of God. Only He could do that, signifying that it was the perfect sacrifice and it was done once and forever. Isn't that wonderful? That is neat. It says in Ephesians 2, let's take a look at that, and then we're going to close in Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us stand together in heavenly places, sit together. It's done. It's established. Our redemption is finished. It's over. We're seated too. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Boy, there's some other great things that we're going to see, fantastic things that we're going to see in the future when Christ comes back. But we are higher ground citizens, seated in the heavenlies. Higher ground citizens, seated in the heavenlies. And that's where our mind should be. As the world tugs on us and pulls us down, we reach up and say, "Hey, I'm seated in the heavenlies. It's done. It's over. With God, I have a great relationship, fellowship with Him. And I can walk for Him." Well, let's Philippians. Let's finish this wonderful truth. You know, the great thing for us to do, knowing this, is to renew our minds. To renew our minds of who we are in Christ. Renew our minds that we are seated in the heavenlies. Renew our mind to this new creation in Christ that we have. And get rid of the old man. He's dead. He's dead. So we dump him. And we reach forth with the new man. Well, verse 20 again. "For our conversation, our citizenship exists even now in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21. "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Amen. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the great reality that we can focus in on, that we are seated in the heavenlies. We are Your children, born again of incorruptible seed. We're seated at the right hand as well. We're those citizens of heaven. And that we can keep that in our minds as we live in this world and as we look for the gathering together to come to pass. That we can fellowship one with another and be blessed and move God's word in ourselves and others and new people as well. So this family can grow and be blessed and have great expectations for that gathering together time. So I pray for Your people, for their hearts of understanding on this, so that we can walk this week as sons of God with power, knowing that we're heavenly citizens. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right.